today on My First Concert.
Yeah, so that was a kind
of... Wow, what a...
Unbelievable, right? And he said we were fun, and we were both, at the time, it was, you know, it's late, early 90s, we were smoking cigarettes, and he was trying to quit. But we'd go outside, we'd have a little nip and go outside and sit overlooking, you know, the valley in his backyard, and he was renovating his house, small house, well, not a big, huge house or anything. You know, it was like a little Rambler that he had. And he was very unpretentious at the time.
How great is that?
But he was renovating his house. And this was right after he did Pulp Fiction, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he did Pulp Fiction. And you know what his, what's his name gave him? What's the guy's name that did Pulp Fiction?
Tarantino.
Tarantino.
Yeah.
He gave him a Porsche for acting in the movie. Just gave him a Porsche for the little part that he played in that movie. And I'll never forget him telling me that story. Yeah,
I think that's how he got paid.
That's how he got paid. That's exactly how he got paid. Here's a Porsche. Porsche. I'm sorry, you have to say it right. It's a Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah, Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah.
Ricky Peterson, outstanding musician, current keyboardist for Stevie Nicks, has been for a long time. They're going out on tour again soon, but has played with just a ton of people, from Jimmy Buffett, obviously, to David Sanborn for many years, and so many others. Daryl Hall. It's a long list. We continue our conversation this week on My First Concert, brought to you by AquariusHomeServices.com. We're in the AquariusHomeServices.com studios, and by our friends at Star Bank, our bank here at TalkNorth.com. And you can learn more from them at starbank.net or visiting one of their 10 locations throughout the state of Minnesota. In shows upcoming, Pamela McNeil will join us here. She's one of the most recent members of the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame. Also, Monet Sable, the star of Beautiful at the Chan Hess Dinner Theaters. It is outstanding, and she will be with us as well. But today, we want to finish our two-parter with Ricky Peterson, also known as Ricky P. That, I think, is how the songwriting and credits went on The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, a big Prince song, which he arranged and produced for Prince. So much more on that and many other stories here today on My First Concert. You can download us wherever you get your podcasts, at Apple, at Spotify, at TalkNorth.com, wherever. In the meantime, more now with Ricky Peterson. If we were to sit down in a room and you're just going to play, what music would you choose? Because your career, you've done it all. You can do it all. But if you were sitting and you just wanted to relax and play what you like, what would we hear?
You know what? You'd probably hear some kind of a funky groove, some R&B, you know, happy something, and I could flail on the organ. You know, that's my favorite thing to do. It really is. That's why I did that record with my brothers. You know, I went and I said, let's put some fun music together, not necessarily putting, you know, being, you know, this is not rocket science. Let's go in and have fun doing this. And we sat in the big studio over here at Creation, and we wrote right in the studio. In about a week, we did this record, and we had tallied our talents. Yeah, you know,
kind of your happy place.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
it totally is. And that's, we had the best time in the world. And that record actually got legs and was played on, you know, and however you make money now, they you know, because, you know, there's no publishing anymore. There's no record companies. Yeah. There's none of that stuff. So you need to get it played on the air, like with Sirius or something like that. Anything. That's where the people are making their money now. So, and it did. That's what's the point of that one.
How about that?
We're very lucky. Yeah.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel was, well, you know, we've been on tour with him this last year.
Yeah.
And with Stevie. And they've been co-billing once a month at the huge stadium shows at, you know, like U.S. Bank we did here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And we're ending that tour with him. He's by the way, a lovely guy, man.
Oh, great.
And the band is insanely great, man. Mm-hmm. His band is just like, wow, you know. So when we get to see him, we're happy about that. And it was just fun to open for him, you know, and know that he comes out on stage and sings that Tom Petty song I was talking about before. He sings Stop Dragging My Heart with Stevie, which is, you know, the crowd goes crazy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
70,000 people, you guys. Do you know what that's like to see that crowd? I mean, we at a football game, maybe.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
I probably would melt.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, it's like, what the heck? So anyways, Billy's a very, very good. We don't hang that much because of this COVID thing that we got. You know, he's off doing his thing, and we're kind of, you know, contained over here. So, but he'll come in the room and he'll make sure, hey, is it cool? Come in, you know, in the dressing room. Of course, get your butt in here. Let's talk. You know, he sits down and we hang for a minute, and he's just a beautiful guy.
Boy, that's great. How about Jimmy Buffett? Did you work with him?
You know what? I did one thing with Jimmy, and we did it was kind of a memorial thing that we did. We were the house band for a bunch of people. And that was like, and that was the one where Sting, Billy Joel, Jimmy Buffett, and a bunch of Brian Wilson.
Oh, man. And,
yeah, it was an insane concert. Four different concerts we did at Madison Square. We did it in Boston. We did some other place in Chicago or something. And it was a memorial that we did to a guy that wrote for Billboard magazine. And I can't remember his real name, something White. And everybody loved him. And he was, I don't think he was a reviewer or whatever. He was an interviewer, I think. And he knew everybody. A reporter. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And we did this concert for him. And this is when I worked with Waddy, the first time I worked with Waddy. And it was Waddy. It was Willie Weeks from here. You remember Willie Weeks? He's a bass player from Minnesota, and he played with the Doobies forever and played with everybody, actually. But the band was insane. It was Steve Jordan on drums, and it was just a lovely house band that all these guys sat in with us. So
you got to do a couple of those things, like couple years ago, you did one in New York.
God's Love, We Deliver. London. That one. Oh, which one? Oh, that Peter Green.
With the Peter Green one.
Peter Green, yes. Peter Green was the actual
original
member of Fleetwood Mac, which was a blues band in the 60s. They were just a 4 or 5-piece blues band. So we did a tribute to Peter Green in 2020 before the pandemic hit. That concert was February 28th.
And you got to play just before. Wow. 2020. March it all fell apart. Yeah.
And you got to play with one of my heroes, which is David Gilmour.
David Gilmour. I sure did. Yeah. David Gilmour, Peter Townsend. And Billy Gibbons.
Oh, my. ZZ Top. Yeah.
It was every guitar player.
John Mayer.
John, Kirk Hammett. From
Metallica.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I got a signed guitar from him.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
He bought Peter Green's, Greenie.
Yeah.
It's a Les Paul. Les Paul. Peter Green.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was $1 million axe that Peter got to spend a couple of dollars before he passed. So that's good.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, how about Bruce Willis, the actor?
Oh, my gosh. Bruce. I was working with Robin Ford at the time.
Oh, great guitar player.
A wonderful guitar player. A dear friend of mine. He had been playing with Sanborn also for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he sat with us I think Paul was with that band too for a minute. Mm-hmm. I got Paul to come in and play with Sanborn that time. That was early 90s. Anyways, he befriended Bruce somehow, and Bruce wanted to do a blues record. So we became... you know, these guys are all blues players. That's pretty much what we play anyway, is the blues. So, Bruce, we went up to Mulholland at his house. I found him a B3, and he bought it. It was an A100, like Paul's.
Yeah.
And I got it from Billy Brown, and Billy Brown sent it to him. I was going to buy it for my mom, because my mom had given her organs away, and I wanted her to play the organ because she was such a beast on the organ.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, if this is smaller, she can fit. It doesn't have to take up too much room. It's like this axe only in a spinet. You know, it's a B3 in a spinet model. So I bought it, and I bought it for her, but she didn't, unbeknownst to her, she did not know this. And Bruce said, well, I need one of those. And I said, well, take this one. And he said, okay, cool. And so he took care of it, bought it. We went to his house and we played blues for 3-4 weeks.
And
went to concerts together, and we sat and we would be, you know, we'd go, he was just like a buddy. He's a Jersey boy or something, you know,
Yeah.
I think I met him the first time in New York. He was a bartender in Chelsea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy,
you know, because I was hanging out with all these musicians, Waddy and, you know, all these guys, and Jordan.
That's where Don Johnson met him and made him an actor, right?
That's probably exactly correct, man. I think that might be exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah, because I don't know the history of him, but I just knew he was a fun guy.
Yeah, I thought.
And we had a ball. And he remembered who I was, you know, so it was kind of, it was just like a mutual thing.
Just a regular guy. That's neat. I think, I thought I saw Don Johnson, of course, if people don't remember, Miami Vice, which was the hot show. And
boy, wasn't it.
I thought he talked about this bartender he met in New York at Chelsea, as you mentioned, and brought him down and put him on Miami Vice for a thing and got him on a ton of other shows. It worked out.
What was that? What was the one that he was a big star in?
With the model, Cheryl Teagues.
Yes.
No, not Cheryl Teagues. Not Cheryl Teagues. Cheryl Teagues. Era.
Yeah.
Sybil Shepherd?
Sybil Shepherd. That's exactly right. Okay. Very good, man.
Well, no, time of life, Bill. I remember particular people like that.
Yeah, well,
I remember a lot of the guys, but I can remember.
Who wouldn't, man? Sybil was so fine.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That, yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, show. So that was the kind
of. Wow, what a.
Unbelievable, man. Right? And he said we were fun, and we were both, at the time, it was, you know, it's the late, early 90s. We were smoking cigarettes, and he was trying to quit. But we'd go outside. We'd have a little nip and go outside and sit overlooking, you know, the valley in his backyard. And he was renovating his house, small house. Well, not a big, huge house or anything. You know, it was like a little rambler that he had. And he was very unpretentious at the time. But he was renovating his house. And this is right after he did Pulp Fiction, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he did Pulp Fiction. And you know what his, what's his name gave him? What's the guy's name that did Pulp Fiction?
Tarantino.
Tarantino.
Yeah.
He gave him a Porsche for the acting in the movie. Just gave him a Porsche for the little part that he played in that movie. And I'll never forget him telling me that story. He said, yeah,
I think that's how he got paid.
That's how he got paid. That's exactly how he got paid. Here's a Porsche. Porsche. I'm sorry. You have to say it right. It's a Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah, Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah.
Hey, Dave Lee from my friends at Aquarius Home Services. Now, you know, some say as you age, surprises diminish, but daily I am astounded by my love for Kinetico water treatment systems. It is a constant delight. And now with Kinetico in both my home, and you can have in your cabin too, by the way, I can confidently say it is the best, just like the Aquarius team is. The minimal salt usage is really stunning because the pristine cleanliness of your laundry, of your dishes, of your showers, it's unbeatable. Plus, it runs on zero electricity. I know that's a little hard to comprehend, but you'll learn about this because the energy is kinetic. My recommendation, get a free water analysis from Aquarius Home Services and prepare to be amazed by Kinetico water. Aquarius believes in earning the right to be recommended. And they're just a click away at KineticoMN.com.
We're, anyways.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan? Chaka Khan?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now, that was the first, one of the things that we did with her was at the Montreux Jazz Festival in 1989, maybe, is when I met her. She needed a band, and we threw it together. I was with David Sanborn at the time, playing with him, and that was a quick thing that we did at the Montreux, kind of throw-together thing one night. And then, of course, later on in the mid-90s, she came around with Prince, and I produced a record for her with Prince. It didn't do very well. The record didn't, but it was a great record. I think it was called At My House or something like that, or Welcome to My House or something. And it was a Prince-born record like the Mavis Staples one, The Voice. And I was privileged enough to work, not necessarily with her, but for that record. Yeah. So, but we had worked together, you know, didn't really know each other that well, but she was an acquaintance, you know, to tell you the truth.
Got so many of them though in your career.
You know what? I mean, you're bringing it back because this is things that you forget about because it's just, and it's important stuff, man. You know, it is in my brain. It's like, thank you, by the way.
Oh, well, I think
the ones that I've heard, the Billy's interview, Paul's interview, all these guys, and it's like, you go, wow, you really brought some stuff. I told you, man, this is wonderful. Well,
it's just
you did your research, brother.
Yes. Well, no, I mean, you know, you got the great family. It's
no,
it's
thank you.
Not hard to know. And in fact, this is the problem. I start wavering, but I was just thinking this is a complete digression again. But I mentioned before
we
started,
this is what we do.
I encourage people to go to the website. Find out more about Ricky Peterson, and I really enjoyed it. I told you off the air as well. There's a lot of videos you can watch, which are all very good, but I really enjoyed that big band thing you guys were doing.
Oh, thank you, man.
God, that was just...
That was a privilege. Yeah. That was a definite privilege for me.
What, As much fun as you were having in that particular video, is that pretty much the case anytime you're in a studio? Do you ever go in the studio and just aren't having fun? Does that ever happen?
Well, you don't have to get into it.
I don't want details.
No, not necessarily, man. You know, it is what it is. If you're working for someone that can be a little bit of a babysitting job sometimes, yeah. But other than that, when you're playing, it's all a different thing, man. Yeah. It's a whole different thing. When I'm playing music, it's wonderful, and I can't say anything bad about it. You know, yes, there's difficult times. There's no doubt about it. You know, and there's difficult music where if you can't play the stuff that you want to be able to say, you know, it's nerve wracking. It can be very nerve wracking. You know. Because if you don't read it well, if you're not a great reader like me, which I'm not.
That's hard to believe, yeah.
Well, you know, even though I've done it for a long time, I can read music. I can't read what we call at 1,000 paces like my mother could. You know, she could read anything, you know. We're all ear trained pretty much, you know, all of us.
Like a good... You know, like a good baseball player. I mean, sometimes real great ones aren't going to be great teachers because they just got it.
Yeah.
They just have it.
It's kind of thing. You know, we're blessed enough to have a talent that we were blessed with, I have to say, a God-given talent, you know, which is exactly what I believe. So
you mentioned Robin Ford. I remember seeing him and Sonny Landreth together at one time.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. It was just, I just love that music. Okay. Of all these places you mentioned, playing in front of 70,000 plus in cases, and all of these Hall of Fame people, and you're one of them, by the way.
Well, we were lucky enough to be into the Minnesota Hall of Fame, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. What a privilege that is.
Yeah, because the Minnesota Sound, Minneapolis Sound is a big deal, and you know that this is why it's so big, folks, is because guys like this are going out and playing with bands.
Speaking of that, Minnesota Hall of Fame... We're going to interview Pamela McNeil, who's going to be...
Is she inducted also?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yep. She sure was.
She's going to be this next Friday.
Nice.
So we'll have her on.
Great. Yeah.
She's a beautiful girl. She's
awesome person.
Yeah. Very good.
So
I think her first concert was Rush, by the way.
Really?
There's a deep track for you.
Rush. Well, that's that band. Holy buckets, man.
Isn't that something?
Whew. I remember seeing them. We were playing with Stevie, and we went the night before we played the stadium that was outdoors somewhere. I think it was in Pennsylvania. And we went to see Rush.
Nice.
We were all blown away. They had washing machines on stage, man, with their clothes in them.
Yeah.
They were doing their laundry on stage. I was like, what the hell is going on, man?
Yeah.
We were just totally intrigued with those guys and didn't really get to meet them, but that was a hell of a band. Wow.
Well, a friend of mine in the concert business, you know, would always have to host the bands, and she was behind the scenes. But she said when you'd have lineups for, you know, people like me or that want to meet the band, you know, you pay a little extra, or you're lucky enough to somehow get a VIP invite, and you go back and say, hey, Ricky, nice to meet you. And you have time to say, nice to meet you, and then you got to move on. But a lot of times, young ladies like to meet the rock and roll band, she would say. But she said, when it was Rush, it was guys, tough guys from their trucks and pickups dressed like tough guys, and they were in line to meet Rush. And when they'd meet Rush, Geddy Lee or Neil or whoever, they didn't know what to say, and she said sometimes they'd start tearing up.
I believe that's awesome. I totally believe
it. For Rush,
man.
It wasn't probably awesome, but
you know what? Yeah. I know the feeling, man. Yeah. It's just like you're in awe of these people. You know, it's like meeting George Benson for me.
Yeah? Yep.
We're in awe of this man for how many years, and you're playing music with him. All of a sudden, it was like, you know, talk about tears. You know, that was a dream come true for a lot of us, man, you know?
I mean,
all of the people. I can't just leave everybody out. I'm just saying. No, but for me, because of the musicality of the situation, of him and me being involved, it was like overwhelming, man.
You know, going back now, you mentioned George Benson, and so many of us are big fans, still are. But in that, when we saw the Midnight Special, and that wasn't you know, just very few people. We had to put our hands above our heads to cheer so the cameras could see.
Sure.
It looked like a big crowd, and we're all sitting on a cold cement floor. It wasn't a very impressive studio.
Yeah.
But the musicians were. And so this was Dr. John. This was Carlos Santana. This was Etta James.
What a treat.
And
man.
Van Morrison.
Sure.
So George and Van are doing a solo, duet, rather.
Right.
And Van's going to sing, and I don't remember what song it was. And, of course, they tape it so they can cut at any point.
Sure.
And I remember George starts playing, and Van starts singing all of a sudden, and George is going, and Van stops and says, "I ain't got it. Stop. I ain't got it." And, of course, we're all like,
"Oh yeah,
what doesn't he have?" Yeah. "I ain't got it." And so he just puts his head down, and he's like in a different spot, and George is like looking around. He looks at us and waits for a while, and he just starts playing.
Yeah.
For the rest of us. And then Van, minutes later, said, "Okay, I got it now." And then they redid the song.
And what song? Was it a Van song? Obviously.
It was a Van song, but I don't remember now.
Moon Dance or something.
Well, Moon Dance is what they finished with. And that's still on a YouTube video. God. I just saw it. I was telling my friend about this, and he said, "Look on YouTube." That's on YouTube. And it's where Etta and all those people sang Moon Dance together.
At the end. Oh, well, I've got to see that.
It was awesome.
That's great, man.
I think Tom Scott was on it. Anyway, but guys, you
LA Express. Remember that band? Tom Scott and LA Express.
Mm. But anyway, getting back to these crowds that you played in front of, these wonderful places you've played in, and maybe some not so wonderful, what is there a most memorable or among the most memorable concerts that you've performed?
Well, you know, I have to say one of them is when we did that tribute to the writer for Billboard, because I played with some hellacious musicians and all the superstars I've never played with before. That was pretty amazing. And that was at Madison Square Garden, and it was packed. And that was back in, it had to be 95, 96, something like that, in that era. And it was pretty over the top. Even though I've played to crowds with David Sanborn, I have to say that was some of my favorite things that I ever did. And we did a lot of the sheds, the outdoor sheds, which was great. You know, like Saratoga Springs and things like that, places like that. The outdoor concerts were a lot of the favorites. I can't tell you particularly one concert. Right. They were all pretty special, man. You know, when you get to do something like that, they're all special, man. I have to say, there nothing really, because I don't know. I can't say it's routine, but when you've been doing it for 40 years, we never really did anything like that tribute before. I'd never done anything like that with everybody on stage. It was just incredible.
So, you know? As a musician, then what happens? Are you like a quarterback and the play breaks down and say, "Oh, I got to do something else now"? I mean, was this with that group? You obviously wouldn't have had a whole lot of time to rehearse, would you?
Not really. So we had time over at SIR, which is one of the rehearsal halls in New York. And we did it the first week. They would come, but one guy would come by one day, the other guy would come by the next day, two guys would come the next day, and they're only doing a song a piece.
Right.
You know, or maybe there's like James Taylor did two songs or something. And, you know, but we would all be hanging in one room together, not at all at the same time, but rehearsing, and then we'd get on stage and do it. Just what you're doing. At the time, you wing it pretty much.
Yeah.
You're winging, you know, because you don't have a lot of time to rehearse. But it's wonderful when it comes together, because you're on stage with these guys and they count it off and you're in it, you know. You're in it to win it, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, how cool is that?
It's really cool. But those kind of things I've been blessed enough to be able to participate in, and lucky enough, I should say, to be in that place at that time, you know, where they go, get him, get that guy to play. He's, you know, get Ricky. He can do that shit.
Wow.
So, you know, it's.
And then you're at home, and if you want to see Ricky at home, the All-American Rockers are going to.
Yeah, the Classic American Rockers are
classic
playing.
Classic, rather, are going to be at the Dakota.
What's the date on that?
Dakota is the 23rd.
On the 23rd.
The 23rd was, I think,
two
is
shows?
As strange as, I think, I don't think so.
One show?
Two sets, maybe.
Okay.
Two sets. I suppose that would be two shows. Who knows? I don't call them shows, really. We just get up there and groove and have fun, you know? So, I guess they are shows, but anyways, that's doing that, and then I'm going to go out with Stevie again for the summer. She's doing May, June, and Europe in July, and then I come home, and I've got some things going on with the WDR big band again in Cologne, so that's fun.
Is that in the fall?
It's in the fall, I hope. Yes, we're hoping. And yeah, there's lots of things that are brewing, you know, as they say in the music business. If you, you know, because I know that Stevie's won't be doing this, that much longer. But she loves doing it. So whenever she goes, I'll go. What the heck, you know? I love it.
Yeah.
I love the band. I think it's fun. And I get to go travel a little bit and then hopefully bring Lou with me, you know?
Yes.
Because that was another thing that we couldn't do for a long time now since COVID. Was even bring our family around.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They can come and see us. You know, but, you just can't have them backstage.
Yeah, it was goofy. So, yeah, it was
crazy. Well, I understand. You know, you got to understand how it works. And, that if somebody gets sick, you don't want it to be your fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm when Springsteen got COVID. I saw
exactly
that
right. Exactly right. So,
yeah, that's, and of course, Stevie Nicks, a lot of us in my generation, Davide, grew up with MTV and just starting. And of course, my brother-in-law now, Dave would come over and he'd say, hey, we got to get our Stevie Nicks fix. And we'd watch Rihanna. And I can't remember what the other one I'm trying to think of now.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
We had to watch the video.
Sure.
Yeah, before, we got to watch the video.
Oh,
today,
she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, every guy was in love with Stevie back in the day, man. And, it's, of course, like Cybill Shepherd, those girls were like, all our loved ones, we loved them all.
Hey, I do want to thank our friends at Star Bank. Speaking of bragging, this is a local company, Minnesota-based company, started years ago. And they've kept their roots in rural Minnesota and now, of course, right here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. But I got to tell you, this still has that charm of a small-town bank where you walk in, pretty good chance they'll get to know you, really good chance you'll know them. And they like that. They like it so much, so when you call them, they'll answer the phone and chat with you. Nobody goes on, none of the press one here, press two here, press three here. You get to talk to somebody. But the key is, obviously, you're saying, well, can I get a loan over there, or can I work some of the banking magic that I need to do. And they've got all sorts of things going on. If it's a business lending solution at Star Bank, they'll tailor it to assist you with everything from managing, inventory to paying your vendors to covering your operating expenses and more. But competitive rates certainly in flexible terms. But when it comes to money, man, you want somebody you can trust, somebody you feel good about, that you don't worry about. And if you're thinking of a loan, by the way, turnaround time is great. Their service is outstanding. And it might be a home equity loan. Might be you're thinking about that RV you've thought about for a long time, or the camper, whatever it is. Personal banking, checking, savings, IRAs, HSAs, all that stuff, safe deposit boxes. They have everything. CDs, which are a hot topic right now. Anyway, digital banking services. So you can do it all on your phone. So there's no problem there, like a lot of us like to do, obviously, because we have busy schedules. But you can get to know them pretty well by going in there or just giving them a call. But I would call Star Bank today or online at starbank.net. Loans are subject to a loan application and approval. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender. They are our bank right here at Talk North. So now this, I feel bad asking this in a way, but I'm really intrigued by what your answer could possibly be. And your brother changed it, Paul, just so you know, from the first time we chatted. And frankly, I think a lot of us do that very thing. So it's a tough question to close off with. But if Ricky Peterson were setting up a concert with three acts, alive or dead, and you're the promoter, who would you put on that stage?
Oh.
And you can play with them too.
Yeah.
You probably have.
You may have. Yeah, I might have. But if there's anybody you would want to have seen, or you did see, or you... you never saw, but and I hesitate because you have so many connections. I don't want to be offended. So,
I would have to say people that I probably haven't played with.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Let me do that first.
Yeah,
people you have not played with.
Well, I've played with a lot of people, and I don't want to alienate anybody.
No,
let's
go with someone you have not played with.
How about Stevie Wonder?
Oh boy,
what a Todd Rundgren.
He's coming in town.
I certainly know.
And he's a tech. I mean, he was really into the
technical part of it. Absolutely. I mean, these guys were the guys that I grew up with listening to. I mean, they're two of the big ones. And I was a big fan of Todd and big fan of Stevie. And I mean, there's numerous people that you're saying three. I got to think of one more. You know what? I would put Keith Emerson up there with the lot.
Oh wow.
You know, and I love my Herbie Hancock. I love my Chick. I love all my Bill Evans and all that stuff. But these are the guys that are people that I grew up with. You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't a big bebopper at all. You know, so
pioneers
of the of real soulful blue eyed soul stuff. Daryl Hall is another one. But I knew Daryl. I worked with him. You know, and so only for a very short time, but. I mean, these people are the guys that I look up to and for lesson wise, as far as really thinking about people like Herbie Hancock, I mean, these are the guys that I learned from, you know, Joe Zawinul, another one, you know, which is a weather report, the guy mm-hmm. who made Weather Report. Anyways.
Another one.
Yeah. My God. One of my favorite things that actually turned my head around for the first time in my life was the record was Weather Report, the very first one that they did, which was I'll never forget riding in my car.
That was a band's band, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh, it was the most incredible nothing you've ever heard before. You've never heard music like this before. It was not ordinary music. It was innovative, strange. Stop the car. I can't drive.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's exactly what happened. I mean, weeping kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Made me just oofta. Anyways, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. But anyways, yeah, I don't know if I answered your question very well.
Oh, gosh, you kidding me? What am I?
I guess I was a singer for such a long time, and I'd listen to these guys, you know. And these are the guys that I tried to emulate. Also, I have to give the Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, Maurice White, the credit where it's due, where I listened to for so many years too. You know, but it was the R&B thing. You know,
yeah.
So there you go.
Have I left anything out, Rick? I know I have. anything you want to bring up?
Podcast part 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, yeah, I mean. Yeah, I mean, we could go on forever, but what I'm trying to do is just kind of consolidate my own brain, you know? I think we've covered a lot of it. I mean, there's so many other people that should be mentioned, but it's not, those are the influences in my life and what I've worked with, the David Sanborn, the Ben Sidran, the Tommy LaPuma, the, you know, George Benson. Heck, John Mayer, for God's sakes. I loved him, man. When I first heard him, I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And Willard is the one that turned me on to him. You know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should listen to this guy.
You know? Well, your family, too. I mean, the music in your family is incredible.
If I had my brothers, that's who would be on stage with me all the time.
Yeah.
It's my family.
Yeah, that's.
Because it's just like, why change a good thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Why fix what's not broken? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Gosh, Ricky, I know your schedule well, and I know it's hard to squeeze in things to do in your home.
I'm here for you, my friend. This is really fun for me. So,
well, more fun for us, I can tell you that.
I love it. Thank you.
And we'll look forward to hopefully seeing you April 23rd at the Dakota. Folks, go to Ricky's page. Anywhere else they can reach out to
you? First of all, happy birthday to you on the 23rd of April.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought maybe it was a birthday show, but I didn't see that in the bill.
Hopefully I can see you on your birthday. That'd
I've seen you guys before at the Dakota, and it's a great place, by the way, folks. I would tell you, if you get a chance to go over there and watch particularly these guys, you will not be disappointed. Davide, thank you so much, as always.
You're welcome. It's nice to be back here with you. And, Ricky, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
It's
I'm glad we could do it.
I know we tried now for like the last 4 or 5 months.
Yes, I know.
And you in here.
I've been gone.
I'm so glad that you did. And, you know, I'm always thankful to the Petersons because they're kind of like my second family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they took me under their wing a little bit. And once I graduated and... they let me hang, so I'm very privileged.
We're happy you're here, man.
Yeah, so, and now I'm, you know, sharing their studio here, too, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, that you talk about.
A lot of memories in this place, you know, David, you've been here before.
We've been discovering a lot by interviewing a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of history
that's
here.
The fun about it. That's the fun about it, and I'm glad we do that. And, you know, also interviewing you and documenting what you went your career and your experience and what you did with
a lot of time spent in this building, man. Yes. I have to tell you, a lot of different names have been on the marquee this place, man.
It's the great history here. This is like a Sesame Street bit to me. One of these doesn't belong. As I look at myself sitting with the two of you.
No.
I mean, it is legendary. It really is legendary.
I mean, and I know that you've done voiceovers and done things, and probably in the big room over here. And I mean, this is a place. It was K Bank at the time. I don't know if you remember the name. And my father did many jingles here, and of course, it was the places were a little different. Of course, there are different rooms and stuff, but. And I think Bruce Swedeen is the one that started this place.
Yep.
Bruce Swedeen was the engineer for Michael Jackson. Did all the mixing and engineering for that with Quincy. So he built this place.
You never worked with Michael, did you?
Never worked with Michael. Yeah. I worked with his band.
Jermaine. Huh? Didn't you work with Jermaine Jackson?
I sure did. We did a record with Jermaine out at Paisley Park. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. But not with Janet. You never worked with Terry.
Never worked with Janet.
Oh, okay.
Never worked with Janet. Billy did. He worked with Terry and Jimmy a little bit.
And so did Steve Weiss.
Oh, yeah. Very, very much. Absolutely. So the history is incredible in this building alone, man. I mean, really. It's just, wow. You know, privileged to be here.
Well, our thanks to Ricky Peterson for coming in. We encourage you to tune in again next time. Next week, we'll be back with another edition of My First Concert. You get it at Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Go ahead and download it. Go to talknorth.com. We've got a lot of them there for you. If you're a sports fan, there's a ton there, by the way. And then also, we want to thank the folks at AquariusHomeServices.com. Jeff and his staff, they're just the best. And I can say that with, great honesty, because I've known him since he started the company. And also, and they're at AquariusHomeServices.com. And then think about your home. They'll take care of whatever it is. And then also StarBank.net, a local bank in Minnesota. We're talking about the Minnesota roots in music. Well, the same thing for these folks in the banking industry. And they're still there going strong, 10 locations throughout Minnesota, same family. They're terrific. So our thanks to them at StarBank.net. And for you, of course, for taking the time to listen and to join us, My First Concert. And I will see you again here next week.